VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Sacred cause of this country is larger than any one of us. Those of us who cherish that cause cherish it so much. A cause of American democracy itself must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the VCY America Radio Network. That was President Joe Biden delivering a rare Oval Office address this past Wednesday, July 24, officially withdrawing from the 2024 presidential campaign and leaving the Democratic Party nomination to his vice president, Kamala Harris. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. It has been another huge week of news, and as this from the Daily Torch is on the top of the stack here today, that stack that was compiled by Sandy, we thank her for the work she did to get us ready with so many stories to be able to bring these, bring all of this to you today to try to somewhat, with God's help, make some sense of all that has been coming to us at us this week as Americans, as Christian Americans, as we who, well, care so much about our country and our Constitution and so many folks, and I could put myself right in there as well, have many questions and many concerns. And I'll simply say this, I'm so thankful I'm a born-again Christian. I'm so thankful for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that my hope is not in anything in this world. Our hope cannot be in the White House. But I pray that the hope that is you have, that I have, is that which is in our heart, that which is by faith in God alone and His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean we cannot wave our American flags in pride for the sacrifice that we might live free, that our children might live free, that that generation after generation could freely serve God and then serve one another. But friends, we see the challenges of our way of life being totally, totally at risk. Again this week. It was Wednesday night when the president spoke to the nation, addressed the nation from the Oval Office, and again, just setting the scene for all that he said he had accomplished and where we are now going.
Sacred cause of this country is larger than any one of us. Those of us who cherish that cause cherish it so much. Cause of American democracy itself must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation.
In speaking about his own successes that many would challenge, many would argue what he might call successes, President Biden added this.
I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition.
President Biden would go on to say, so in order to save our democracy and to unite the country, it was necessary for him to call for, you know, an end to his presidential reelection and more or less pass the torch to his vice president in Kamala Harris. SRN News reporting this week, Vice President Kamala Harris securing support back on Monday from a majority of delegates to the Democratic National Convention, likely ensuring that she will become the party's nominee for president next month. That's according to multiple sources you just heard, and how we know by now President Biden throwing his support behind Harris. And then an Associated Press survey of delegates showing that Harris had the support of 2,538 delegates, well beyond the 1,976 delegates that are needed to win the delegates' vote in the coming weeks. Now, if you don't know, delegates can change their minds if they do that before August the 7th, but nobody else has received any votes in the AP survey, and 57 delegates said they were undecided. And where's the concern, and where's the questions about, is there anyone else in our party that we might consider looking at, or giving the opportunity to be our candidate, or do we just have to do whatever we're told? And so many are saying that that's exactly what it looks like. These who are standing up and saying they want to protect this precious democracy, many are charging, they're making a mockery of it by what is being done right now by President Biden and these far left leaders. Now, former President Donald Trump has slammed President Biden and his Oval Office address from Wednesday, calling it a terrible speech, while accusing Democrats of staging a coup against the president. And it was on Fox and Friends, the morning show, that Trump made the statement.
Well, I think it was a coup. They didn't want him running. He was way down in the polls, and they thought he was going to lose. They went to him, and they said, you can't win the race, which I think is true, unless I did something very foolish, which I wasn't going to do. And I think he was so far down, and they said, you're not going to win, and you're not in great shape, and you did poorly in the debate. I think the debate started everything. And I know a lot of people on the other side, too, that they went and they forced him out between Pelosi and Obama and some others that you'd see on television. It was interesting. I'd watch them on television, and they act so nice. Oh, yes, we love Joe. We love Joe. Behind the scenes, I know for a fact they were brutal.
And so, Mr. President,
they pushed him out.
That was President Trump yesterday on the Fox and Friends morning show, and it's a scary thing as an American to think that and to hear a former U.S. president saying he thinks what we are witnessing is a coup. And thus, why so many are troubled. Truly on both sides of the aisle, Fox News also reporting this week, Representative Jared Golden, a Democrat from Maine, saying that he will absolutely not commit to voting for presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. These are comments from Golden, who serves as co-chair of the centrist Blue Dog Coalition. These comments came during an interview yesterday with Axios from the U.S. Capitol. He said, I at least know that she's capable of finishing the next four-year term. I at least know that she's capable of finishing the next four-year term, he said. That's a positive step in the right direction. I think from the perspective of the American people, they at least have a clear choice. But again, he will absolutely not commit to voting for Harris at this point. And as many have been waiting for this week, I don't know why we would have doubted this, but former President Barack Obama and his First Lady, Michelle, have now officially endorsed Kamala Harris for president. A video that was actually released just this morning, this Friday morning, today, as you're hearing this. There have been days of silence over their support. You knew it was coming. The former president and former First Lady now becoming the final key party leaders to endorse Harris. I have to think back to how many of the endorsements that were immediately rolling in. I think the first one the nation heard about was the Clintons. So lots of people in their corner, in their support of the Clintons, and all that they have done and are doing. So they were the first ones to endorse Kamala. But in this video, Barack Obama could be heard first greeting Kamala, and Michelle chiming in as well, saying, "I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl, Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic. We called to say," Barack said, "we called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office." That endorsement just coming earlier today. Town Hall reporting in a statement declaring that BLM, Black Lives Matter, having some things to say about Kamala Harris. The statement declaring, "It cannot ignore the troubling actions of the Democratic Party. The BLM organization calling out the party of Biden and Harris because it refused to host debates during the primary, even though a vast majority of Democratic voters wanted them. A series of events that would have likely allowed America to see the decline of Joe Biden back in 2023. Installing Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee and an unknown vice president, whoever she would end up choosing to be her running mate, without any public voting process would make the modern Democratic Party a party of hypocrites," the statement declares. "Democratic Party elites and billionaire donors are attempting to manipulate Black voters by anointing Kamala Harris and an unknown vice president as the new Democratic ticket without a primary vote by the public. This blatant disregard for Democratic principles is unacceptable. While the potential outcome of a Harris presidency may be historic, the process to achieve it must align with true Democratic values. We have no idea where Kamala Harris stands on the issues now that she has assumed Joe Biden's place, and we have no idea of the record of her potential vice president because we don't even know who that is yet." Black Lives Matter also slamming the DNC's decision to change the schedule of the 2024 primaries and create rules that made it almost impossible for non-Biden candidates to appear on the ballot, effectively clearing the field of any challengers to the incumbent president. In addition, Black Lives Matter observing that following the primary where millions of Black voters weighed in, after one poor debate performance, the DNC party elites and billionaire donors bullied Joe Biden out of the race. The quote, "We do not live in a dictatorship," stated BLM. "Delegates are not oligarchs. Any attempt to evade or override the will of voters in our primary system, no matter how historic the candidate, must be condemned." We are up against our first break, and there are plenty of stories here to go. And where is Jim Schneider? We'll tell you about that as well when we continue. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars. And now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To find out more about creation science, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
Friday brings another edition of News Roundup and Comment. And wow, has it been a week of news. We'll look back at some of the things that we featured here this week on Crosstalk. We have heard from Jim Schneider out on location this week for a couple of Crosstalk programs. We'll tell you a little bit about his busy week just ahead. Now, we are still talking about, all that has taken place with President Biden's decision to not run for re-election. Well, after he has been running and then like overnight deciding, wow, that was quick. Thus leading so many to question really what's going on. And then even President Trump saying that what the nation has witnessed has been a coup this week. And then next on the stack here, we talked about Barack and Michelle Obama now officially endorsing Kamala Harris for president just this morning. How's all this going to calculate? Well, the Democratic National Committee Rules Committee voted Wednesday to hold a virtual roll call to nominate their party nominee instead of waiting to vote for President Biden's replacement in person at the DNC, at the National Democratic Convention that will be held next month. The virtual vote adaptation means that the Democratic candidate, likely Kamala Harris, will have to put their vice presidential pick up for nomination before August the 7th. Kamala has already reportedly started vetting candidates. Come on, we all know. They know. The belief is that many have known what... You may have heard the clip from 2023 from Vivek Ramaswamy predicting this very thing happening. I do not have that audio in front of me today to share with you, but he predicted this very thing would happen. And so now the nation awaits to see who may in fact run with Kamala Harris. Some are mentioning Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. The virtual roll call is expected to happen in the first week of August. Check your calendar. That's just around the bend. And this article wrapping up saying Kamala Harris, now endorsed by Biden, is the only candidate who is currently up for election. And again, that is causing a lot of concern with a whole lot of people saying we don't even have another option for a candidate. So we'll see. Many are saying that this to buckle up for what's going to be taking place in the next couple of weeks for what we are seeing. The postmillennial.com reporting the House of Representatives voted unanimously to set up an investigative task force over the attempted assassination of Donald Trump this past Wednesday evening is when they voted on this. So we're going to kind of change gears here a little bit. There are some things going on that are mind-blowing. And they're setting up this investigative task force over the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. The task force will be a bipartisan project in order to determine the nature of the failures of the Secret Service that led up to the assassination attempt by now deceased Thomas Matthew Crooks, as all of that has been reported. House Resolution 1367 passing the congressional chamber in a vote of 416-0 in favor. The resolution reading, there is hereby established in the House of Representatives the task force on the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump. The function of the task force will be to investigate and fully examine all actions by any agency, department, officer, or employee of the federal government, as well as state and local law enforcement or any other state or local government, private entities, or individuals related to the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, July 13, 2024, in Butler, Pennsylvania, and issue a final report of its findings to the House not later than December 13, 2024, including any recommendations for legislative reforms that would be necessary to prevent future security lapses. What a terrible statement to have to make. Security lapses by the best there is. House Speaker Mike Johnson making a statement on the matter, saying protecting the safety and security of our nation's leaders is a responsibility that transcends party lines. I hope everyone would say amen to that. Protecting the safety and security of our nation's leaders is a responsibility that transcends party lines. And I would go as far to say protecting the safety and security of all Americans is a responsibility that transcends the party lines. Safety and security for all of us. What is the first thing that a president affirms to do, or he swears or whatever, affirms to do when he becomes president? What is that great oath? That they would be first in line to protect and preserve the people. So this effort was established earlier this week. Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York announcing a House task force that is made up of 7 Republicans and 6 Democrats to thoroughly investigate what happened. Johnson said that the task force will have subpoena power in order to ensure accountability and make certain such failures never happen again. Well, I would truly hope so. We truly hope so. Can we ever afford a security lapse? We hear about learning lessons the hard way. We can't afford to learn those kind of lessons. And you heard this, just the news reporting, while Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle frustrated lawmakers Monday, giving sparse details about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. The FBI had disclosed to Congress that the shooter used 3 encrypted communications apps, ostensibly tied to Germany, Brussels, and New Zealand, and also possessed an arrest photo of an earlier Michigan school shooter. In multiple briefings, FBI leaders told lawmakers Thomas Matthew Crook's primary cell phone has become an important focal point of the probe, including some 14,000 images that were found on it. That phone included an arrest photo and other information related to Ethan Crumbly, who was convicted in the 2021 deadly shooting at Oxford High School in Michigan. The phone also included stock images of firearms, guns, articles regarding U.S. government figures, as well as a screenshot of online coverage of the July 13th rally that was saved, I guess, to the phone just after 6 p.m., which was about 10 minutes before Crooks allegedly began shooting from a rooftop near the Butler, PA venue where President Trump was speaking. Crooks had visited the Butler Farms venue twice before the shooting, once on July 7th and again at 10:30 a.m. the morning of the shooting. He returned to retrieve a gun and then bought some ammunition. The FBI also telling lawmakers that the Secret Service was first notified at 5:51 p.m. Eastern, July 13th, by the Pennsylvania State Police about a, quote, suspicious person. And that means the service had at least 9 minutes warning before President Trump began speaking and 20 minutes before Crooks would have began shooting. And 1 minute before the first shots were fired, the Secret Service sniper was alerted that there was a local police incident at the 3 p.m. position to where Trump was speaking. One of Trump's detail agents began inquiring what was going on just before the first shot was fired. The FBI saying evidence that its agents recovered from Crook's body or nearby included the AR-15 rifle that he used, a remote transmitter, a receipt from Home Depot, and his primary cell phone. The Bureau told lawmakers that evidence seized from his vehicle in the parking lot at the Butler, Pennsylvania venue included two explosive devices that were to function remotely, a drone, a tactical vest with plates in the front and the back, four magazines full of same ammo that was used in the attack. There was evidence seized from his residence also that included 14 additional weapons, one explosive device, a secondary cell phone, a laptop and hard drive, and three USB devices. Agents said the most startling finding thus far has been the complete absence of any political or ideological motive for Crooks' shooting. On his laptop, Crooks visited websites about building explosive devices and left a message in an online gaming platform with his profile picture that read, "July 13 will be my premiere." So we mentioned the grilling that began to take place on the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle. Well, that was Monday, and then Tuesday she resigned. Fox News received or reviewed the letter that Cheadle sent to the U.S. Secret Service Tuesday morning, just a day after she had taken the heat from both sides of the aisle, giving testimony before the House Oversight Committee Monday. And over a week after Thomas Crooks attempted to take the life of Trump at the Trump rally on July 13th, Cheadle said, "To the men and women of the U.S. Secret Service, the Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders and financial infrastructure. On July 13th, we fell short on that mission. As your director, I take full responsibility for the security lapse. In light of recent events, it is with a heavy heart that I have made the difficult decision to step down as your director." That from Kimberly Cheadle, the former U.S. Secret Service director, again resigning Tuesday. It took that long. And just checking the time here, we're coming up against the bottom of the hour break here. We're going to talk just a little bit more about Cheadle and words that have been said this week. And then probably, I mentioned this, some of the things that you almost cannot believe that have been going on this week. Friends, there are those actually questioning whether President Trump was even shot. There are those among us who are saying, oh, it was all staged. I mean, there are all kind of comments being made like that. I mean, I've heard of some conspiracy theories. Many of them we see have come true, but now they're trying to minimize or question that President Trump was even actually shot. We'll address that when we come back. Stay with us. Crosstalk will continue.
There is a movement to propel humanity toward an advanced level of existence. Those seeking to change the culture of society are on a rapid trajectory, aggressively touting the extremely powerful capabilities of AI.
Artificial intelligence and transhumanism.
The ultimate goal of the elite is to obtain immortality and become gods. In the book, Artificial Intelligence, Transhumanism and the De-evolution of Democracy, pastor and Bible prophecy speaker Dr. Richard Schmidt unfolds his extensive research and documents revealing information unveiling the agenda of those pursuing this technology for evil. You'll also see how these technological advancements fit hand in glove with biblical prophecy and one known as Antichrist. The book, Artificial Intelligence, available for a donation of $18. Call 1-800-729-9829.
In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. We thank you for joining us on Friday News Roundup and comment. And it has been, even with Jim's absence from the studio here this week, from Studio E, it has still been a very busy week here for Crosstalk. And just looking back, of course, yesterday, it was a wonderful speech that we were able to bring most of it to you as we as the nation welcomed Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress, which he did for the fourth time in his leadership role over the years. We were able to share that, not in its entirety, but close. We ran out of time. That was on Crosstalk yesterday. And then earlier this week, Jim did join us. We've had a couple of shows from live from Trail Ridge Camp, and that is where Jim has been this week, ministering to young people. It's been Kids Camp Week at Trail Ridge Camp, and Uncle Jim and Aunt Faith, longtime camping favorites for the kids to listen to. Kids get away from the busyness of life and get with other kids their age, and they get to hear truth, Bible truth, and stories from the scriptures. And it's long been a passion of Jim to get out the word of God, as you well know. And we'll look forward to his return back to Studio E here in Crosstalk next week. But we're really seeing things get nearing the finish line for another great camping season at Trail Ridge Camp. And if you listen to this network on a regular basis, you often hear us talking about the great things that are being done, the lives that are being changed, the young people that are being encouraged to look up in a world where it is so easy to hang our heads. The fact that we can still say there is hope, and that there is hope in Jesus Christ, well, it is a blessing. And that's the things that Trail Ridge Camp is committed to all year round, not just during the weeks and weeks of summer camp. But how many of you have great memories of camp, and hopefully at Christian camps where you were taught, where you were discipled in the Word of God? And we certainly appreciate Jim and his wife Faith for all they continue to do at Trail Ridge Camp and for VCY America. Well, before the break there, we were talking about a really sore subject, and here's the headline. Newsweek, and Breitbart has brought this one out, Newsweek is facing social media backlash after downplaying the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. They have suggested that he was only hit with part of a bullet instead of an intact bullet. Have you ever heard of something so stupid in all of your life? These are educated people. The suggestion has been made that he was only hit with part of a bullet. Does it matter if you're shot? Can part of a bullet still kill you? Yes. Suggesting he was only hit with part of a bullet, the Newsweek article titled "Donald Trump Might Not Have Been Shot After All." Now, how could anyone hold on to any credibility writing a title such as that, contributing something to Newsweek, saying something that we've all witnessed, that we've all suffered through, watching one of our fellow Americans, not to mention one of our former presidents, going through something like this, and now such an established publication would run a story like this? How could they possibly get away with it? Here's how they get away with it. It all points to testimony from Christopher Wray. If you don't know, that's the FBI director, Christopher Wray. And we brought the receipts, ladies and gentlemen, his very words.
With respect to former President Trump, There's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
Did he say what I think I heard him say?
With respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
FBI director, head of it all, Christopher Wray. And then, of course, now the articles, now the conspiracy theories, and yes, those going to social media and the backlash that is ensuing, ex-users, formerly Twitter, mocking Newsweek over the post diminishing the assassination attempt, saying, who else thinks President Trump should sue the heck out of Newsweek? And according to the media, some other things that is going on with this, if President Trump was not shot, according to the media, Kamala Harris was not the border czar. Kamala Harris was not the most liberal U.S. senator. Kamala Harris did not promote defund the police. According to the media, Kamala Harris did not say 18 to 24-year-olds were dumb. According to the media, Donald Trump never got shot. Those were comments made by Charlie Kirk on his social media. Others writing, Trump was definitely shot. Y'all are weird. It makes me think of, maybe some of you are thinking of this too, it makes me think of how so many saying it will deny the Holocaust, where we have video and we still have, you know, people living that were children back then. We have those Holocaust deniers. And, you know, if you just deny it, you know, there'll be people that believe it. And that's literally what they're... I don't know. Western Journal talking here about the Secret Service director's resignation. President Biden took the overly wordy route when it came to accepting the resignation of now former Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. President Biden saying, Jill and I are grateful to Director Cheadle for her decades of public service. She has selflessly dedicated and risked her life to protect our nation throughout her career in the United States Secret Service. We especially thank her for answering the call to lead the Secret Service during our administration, and we are grateful for her service to our family. I saw some of those clips. I personally saw some of the clips, playbacks from you know, where she was being asked questions, and there were many questions that, I mean, that were dodged one after another, and really making both sides of the aisle work very hard to try to get anything out of her on Monday, and thus Tuesday, the resignation. President Biden saying it should be noted that Cheadle presided over an epic blunder of a response from the Secret Service. Oh, no, he did not say this. This is from Western Journal saying it should be noted that Cheadle presided over an epic blunder of a response from the Secret Service July 13th when an amateurish would-be assassin came within seeming inches of killing former President Donald Trump. That blunder so colossal that even had she not resigned, Cheadle was facing calls for her impeachment. I know how quickly time goes here. We do want to open the phone lines. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Maybe you're with the media. Maybe you think that a lot of these things truly didn't happen. Maybe you think we're all being fed a bunch of AI footage these days, and come on. But if you think that, by all means, 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. A little bit more on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Fox News also saying local law enforcement repeatedly offered to provide drone coverage in the sky above President Trump on July 13th, but was rebuffed by the Secret Service. That according to Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, the show me state. Josh Hawley citing this new whistleblower, according to one, the night before the rally, Secret Service repeatedly denied offers from a local law enforcement partner to utilize drone technology to secure the rally. Josh Hawley writing this in a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And this means that the technology was both available to the Secret Service and able to be deployed to secure the site, and the Secret Service said no. And we've all heard in just those past moments, we brought the receipts with us. We brought the receipts. FBI Director Christopher Wray saying that, well, maybe he wasn't shot. What are these people so afraid of? Let's go to the phones. 1-800-733-9829. We thank you for calling Crosstalk and our Friday News Roundup. Thank you for calling in. Line one. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Loretta, and I'm from Lubbock, Texas. I'm thinking that since we're living in the last time and the Bible tells us to be alert and sober, we need to have a more of a discerning spirit and sagacious. Men are becoming lovers of themselves, and I personally, you said we could give our own opinion. I believe that this was set up by Trump himself because there are so many questions, so much went wrong, and even the security didn't know what happened. I just believe it was set up, and we need to know that even the very elect can be deceived. So I believe if you sit down and pray about it, it'll come more clear.
Well, and I do believe in spiritual things when we're talking about the Word of God. It would, and it will be, of course, when you quote that from Revelation, how the very elect will be deceived in those last days. And many believe we are certainly in the last days. But, caller, you are saying that you believe that the whole assassination attempt was staged.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we thank you for listening in Lubbock, Texas. Greg is in Los Alamos. Greg, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. You're talking to Greg, right?
Yes. Hi, Greg.
Okay. Sorry. There's two problems with the arguments about Kamala Harris somehow being nominated as not Democratic. As far as not knowing who the vice president would be on such a ticket before the primaries. Well, that's what the Republicans did. Nobody knew who Trump's was going to be. And the other thing is that everybody knew that the vice president was going to be Kamala with Biden, and that if Biden, for some reason, didn't finish, it was going to be Kamala. So people did, in the primary, vote for Kamala to take over for Biden.
All right, Greg, we thank you for your comments. We are heading into our final break. By the way, Fox News is reporting from a White House doctor that President Trump continues is rapidly recovering from the shooting at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania. In fact, there's a whole doctor's letter from Ronnie Jackson. We might take a few moments to share that with you on the other side. Stay with us.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Recently, country singer John Rich did an interview with Tucker Carlson. Now, I like John Rich in some ways, that's for sure. And I appreciate some of the things he said about Christians and persecution and the coming mark of the beast. But he said a few things that I want to get on the record and correct. One of the things he said is that those that promote the idea of a rapture before the tribulation are promoting something that came about in 1830 due to a guy named John Darby. And then it was made popular by the Scofield Bible that came out in 1909, the first Bible to ever really have commentary notes. First of all, I can show you, as I did on television the other night, early church fathers teaching what we find in the Bible, the removal of the church before the wrath of God, the seven-year tribulation. And the first study Bible with notes was not 1909 Scofield. It was the Geneva Bible in the late 1500s. Facts do matter.
We are in here for the final segment, and during the break here, and for every one of these calls that the assassination attempt was staged, if nothing else gets said the rest of this program, I want to mention the name of Corey Comparator, the 50-year-old dad who was killed at a so-called now staged event, and the others that were traumatized by all of that, and those who have lost the life of a dad, a husband, a loved one, a hero there in Pennsylvania. We should be really careful. All of us should be very careful in that we're going to just say that all of these things were staged. Yeah, they want to say, being a little using some sarcasm here, they want to say that, you know, this the Trump assassination attempt was all staged, yet, you know, we'll swallow the entire thing of January 6th. And there were people that died there too. We don't have time to go into that whole other subject, but, well, there's always two sides to every story, right? And there's always the truth that I believe we all need to look to and focus on. And certainly, we want to honor the life of the hero that was lost in Corey Comparator. Mark is in Monroe. Thank you for calling Crosstalk. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is the propaganda press is going to have to amp up the gaslighting at the White House. No one has done a worse job of attempting to dupe the American public than Karine Jean-Pierre, especially after the recent Biden cover-up that crashed and burned. It's going to take a whole lot more to cover up for Kamala Harris. The borders are, and that's just for starters. That's my comment.
All right. There's also those denying that she was ever in charge of the border, but we brought those receipts as well.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help us. We're gonna
it's President Biden.
Stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
He, right there in 2021, putting Kamala Harris in charge of the border. President Biden putting Kamala Harris in charge of the border, 2021. Here's the receipt.
I've asked her, the VP, today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help us. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
And here's something from Fox News. The House of Representatives yesterday voting along bipartisan lines to condemn Vice President Kamala Harris and her handling of the U.S. southern border, the first piece of legislation targeting Harris since she became the Democrats' presumptive 2024 nominee. Six Democrats joined all Republicans in voting for the measure, which passed 220 to 196. Roseanne is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Roseanne, thanks for calling Crosstalk.
Hi, thank you. I just want to express my opinion as a citizen in the United States of America that all this Candlestein goings on is really a shame, and I think that the candidates should be focusing on major issues that we have here, which are the ozone problem, the drug problem, and then, of course, you know, the illegals that are coming in. I mean, the American people, we as the American people, we feel those things. You
yes.
know, that directly affects our lives, and I wish they would focus more on that. That's all I have to say.
All right, Roseanne, thank you. Bruce is in South Dakota. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, you already touched on it, and I'm glad you did. I was on hold. I just wanted everybody to remember the people that lost their life and were, you know, severely injured in that attack. And I think the former director probably should face some kind of charges for being complicit in allowing that to happen. Just my thought. I'm glad you did touch on it, but I was already on hold when you mentioned it. So thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one, Bruce. Thank you. Lorena in Arizona. Hi, Lorena. You're on the air. This will be our last call for today.
Hello. Thank you. Was that Benjamin Netanyahu we heard speaking to Congress?
Yesterday, yes.
Yeah, or was it an anointed King David in his finest hour? It was wonderful. It was just as though I were listening to one of Israel's finest ancient warriors come back for this generation. I just want to thank you for covering that event.
Lorena, it was a powerful speech yesterday. In our closing moments here, just a couple of the closing comments from Netanyahu.
My dear friends, Democrats and Republicans, despite these times of upheaval, I'm hopeful about the future. I'm hopeful about Israel because my people, the Jewish people, emerged from the depths of hell, from dispossession and genocide. And against all odds, we restored our sovereignty in our ancient homeland. We built a powerful and vibrant democracy, a democracy that pushes the boundaries of innovation for the betterment of all humanity. I'm hopeful about America because I'm hopeful about Americans. I know how much the people of this country have sacrificed to defend freedom. America will be continue to be a force for light and good in a dark and dangerous world. For free peoples everywhere, America remains the beacon of liberty, its extraordinary founders envisioned back in 1776. Working together, I'm confident that our two nations will vanquish the tyrants and terrorists who threaten us both. As Israel's prime minister, I promise you this. No matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult the road ahead, Israel will not relent. Israel will not bend. We will defend our land. We will defend our people. We will fight until we achieve victory. Victory over liberty. Rather, victory of liberty over tyranny. Victory of life over death. Victory of good over evil. That's our solemn commitment.
It was quite a speech yesterday. You can listen again at our website, crosstalkamerica.com. Friends, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Some promises from John 14.
You're listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.